Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Yes, it's that time where we're able to share with you all of the most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to answer a few emails and phone calls from all over the country. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and some of the things we're going to tackle during this hour, some of the wireless-enabled deadbolts. You would be amazed at how convenient and how much safety that can bring your home. Joe, I think people might be a little confused and maybe misunderstanding how easy it is to take the deadbolt out, put another one in, and connect it with your wireless almost effortlessly.
Yeah, it is, because the manufacturers were very smart, even with the very first generation of electronic deadbolts. Is they designed them to just replace your existing mechanical deadbolt. So you don't even have to do anything to the door other than pull out the old one and plug in the new one. And literally, you could probably do it within 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make such a difference on that. And I'll tell you, it's one of those things, too. I know we did a show on one of my television shows about things that people that are renting their homes can do. And that's an excellent one. You can take
you
can take the deadbolt off. Because, you know, there's always that question as to how many people really have keys to this rental house, you know? And, you know, because not every landlord's going to just take all the locks out and put brand new ones in each and every time or rekey them. So that is something you can take that lock off yourself. Put it in a box, put it somewhere where you can know where it is so that you can put it back on when you move. And then you can put one on that you can control. I actually did this for my daughter's, one of my daughter's house in Birmingham, and she's able to control that from her work. She can unlock or lock if her roommate gets locked out, right, which happens from time to time, and that kind of thing, or letting the plumber in. So a lot of convenience and a lot of safety on that. We also.
And now your key doesn't work. That's the other advantage.
I know. I have to sit out on the porch until she comes home. So, hey, you know, another thing that's changed so much, and we talk constantly about the changes in tools these days, particularly because of all of the lithium batteries and that type of thing. And I'll tell you, I was so thrilled when I got my very first cordless circular saw. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Yep.
Finally, I wouldn't be cutting my cord again, you know, that I've done a time
You're
or two.
Trying to make your own cordless saw.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they didn't work. They were kind of odd in how they worked there when they first brought them out. Now we're going to tell you about a brand new one that just hit the market that really gets past all of that. And Joe, you do a lot of tool testing, and I know you used to write a lot of articles like that. That's got to be an extremely interesting way to spend your day.
It is. It's great, because I would typically do these tool tests for Popular Mechanics, and if you go online, you could probably still find them somewhere. And I would, like, if it was a circular saw test, cordless circular saw, I'd order at least 8 or 10 from the major manufacturers, and I'd set up some kind of test protocol, you know, like ripping half-inch plywood and see how many 8-foot rips you can make before the battery died, that kind of thing. And when they switched from NiCad batteries to lithium ion, the industry grew exponentially as far as battery runtime and power. And that's where we are now, where there are a lot of manufacturers are claiming that they have as much power as corded tools. Of course, mm-hmm. they don't last quite as long because you still have a battery. But cordless tools have come a long way. And if I've switched over almost entirely, and we've talked about this in the past, how even outdoor power equipment now, string trimmers, lawn mowers, chainsaws, are almost all battery now.
Right. Uh-huh. And when are the batteries going to get more reasonable? They maybe have come down just a little bit, but it seems like so many companies are manufacturing these all over the world. It seems like those prices would come down a little bit, but that's pretty expensive when you go buy a battery and a charger.
Yeah, that's why it's best to buy it as a kit where you get at least 2 batteries and a charger. And you're right, lithium-ion batteries are pretty expensive, but you have to remember they came down probably about half of what they were originally. These would be well over $100. Now you can usually get them, depending on the voltage and the manufacturer, you know, you can get them for $60 to $70, which, you know, and they last, you know, you can charge them over 1,000 times. So mm-hmm. if you think about that, mm-hmm. you know, it's well worth it.
Well, another thing we're going to tackle during this hour is if you're looking at that light fixture and you're thinking, I'd really like to have a ceiling fan there, what do you need to think about when you're evaluating whether that ceiling fan will actually be supported sufficiently by that existing outlet? I'm sure all of us have had, you know, have heard stories, hopefully not your own story that's happened to, but I'll tell you one Joe that I've spoke to you about before is I have a friend of mine I used to play basketball with because I played basketball up until a few years ago. Now, this guy is 6'8", 350 pounds. This is a big old boy.
Hope he was on your team.
Well, he was. We would walk in. It was like Mutt and Jeff when we walked into the gym, you know, and they didn't even see me or pay attention to me. But the thing is he was always doing projects. And, he's had these big, giant, long fingers about as big as about 12 inches long. And anyway, so he would always do these. Every time I picked him up to go to the gym, he would have another story. One of the stories was his wife kept saying, I want a ceiling fan in our bedroom. I really want one in there. So he goes and takes the light fixture off and he hangs it in there. Well, his wife's not sure if she wants it exactly right there. So he decides to leave some extra wire when he was wiring it. So he put some extra wire on it and he wired it up. Everything was fine. First night, she loved it. The fan going along. Second night, he woke up to someone that was beating him in the back of the head. And so he jumps up and throws this whatever was beating him on the back of the head on the ground, turned the light on, grabbed a baseball bat, and he realized it was a darn ceiling fan had fallen straight out of the and because it had the extra wire, it was enough to keep the fan going to slap him in the back of the head. So anyway, I could go on for an hour telling you stories but that my buddy Jeff told me there. I hope he's listening right now because he'll be chuckling at all of these stories. But anyway, we will talk about the importance of making sure the ceiling fan doesn't pop you in the back of the head at night. And another thing we want to talk about is a lot of times you'll have a small spot on your ceiling, whether it's a popcorn ceiling or whether it's a smooth ceiling, and there's just a little spot there. Can you touch that paint up or do you have to repaint the entire ceiling? Because, you know, a lot of times, Joe, especially these days with these open floor plans, you know, it's not just one room anymore. You know, it leads into the dining room and it leads down the hall. So sometimes painting and ceiling can turn out to be an all-day project.
Yeah, and the difficult part is, right, Danny, so you have this old ceiling that's been painted who knows how many years ago, and you touch it up, now you get new paint. Is that going to blend in? A lot of people think, well, just paint the whole ceiling and that'll solve the problem. And yes, it will. My attitude is I'm just going to paint where I need to. If I just have to paint the little patch, fine. Mm-hmm. And I'll live with it for a couple of weeks and see if it's an issue.
Right.
If it is, then you can always go back and repaint the whole ceiling. But yeah, I don't think that would be my first move.
Uh-huh. Well, being here in the middle of November, people are already experiencing a lot of cold weather already. Now, Joe is in his home studio in Roxbury, Connecticut, certainly an area that gets plenty of cold weather and so forth. And Joe, we're kind of lucky here that we finally finally got past hurricane season. It was just one of the most active ones in history. And they came in and went to the left of us, to the right of us. And fortunately, Mobile, Alabama didn't get a lot of damage. But I did discover something this morning.
What's that?
I walked down to my boathouse and, was getting some things out of there before I went to work. And I look over and right in the edge of the water was this dead pelican.
Oh,
and it was looking straight up in the air. And I thought, that's so strange. I mean, it's like rigor mortis set in or something, you know?
Right.
And so I said, well, what do I do? You know, so I walk over there to get a closer look at it. And I realize it wasn't a dead pelican. It was my weather vane off the top of my boathouse.
Got blown off.
And it was this beautiful copper, actually a blue herring. And it was, out of copper, just beautiful. And it wasn't a dead pelican. It was my dead weather vane that had gotten blown off from
there.
And then I look over and I see something else, and I see something that looks like fan blades. Well,
right.
Yeah, my ceiling fan lost three of the four blades, and they are out. So, man, I had some serious hurricane damage here.
Can you imagine if you had a chance to see that before the heron took flight and before the fan blade, so they must have been spinning at like 100 miles an hour.
Well, I'm going to go back tonight and look at the, because I have video surveillance
everything. Oh, that'd be
great. So I'm going to go back and that'll be my entertainment for tonight. You know, I'll have a glass of tea and then I will watch the tape there. So
that'd be interesting. Yeah, be sure to share that. I'd love to see. Now, did that happen at night, do you think, or was it?
Yeah,
but
because
the
intensity of the storm, and we probably got 80 or 90 mile per hour, or probably 80 mile per hour wind, something like
that.
Right in the middle of the night, as I was in there I guess, snoring. It didn't bother me too much.
Maybe you snored the heron off the top of the building. Did you ever think of that?
And it's so quiet in the house with my new house and all the stuff we've done for that. I really didn't.
I didn't hear it.
Hardly anything, which is a good thing. But poor dead pelican. I will.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't a pelican.
I will put it back up there on the roof at some point, which is a little treacherous. But anyway, we've got a lot that we're going to share with you there, and a lot of things we'll talk about on some of the more preparation that you need to consider as you're headed into this cold time of the year. And we're certainly going to be able to answer as many questions as we possibly can. And we're also going to tell you about Treat Your Toilet Leak Week. I'm having to be
what?
Real. That's a hard one to say real fast.
Yeah.
Now, we might even try doing that later on and see how fast you can, how many times you can say it five times. And we might have to use our little bleeping device to bleep out some of the things that you might say.
The FCC will be contacting us shortly after that.
Hey, we're just getting started on this hour of today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. Guarantee you, we're going to share some things with you that you can use at your house right away. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. We'll be right back.
At the Home Depot, we improve things. This holiday season, we've improved Black Friday. Instead of one day of crazy, we've lowered prices now, and they'll stay low all season. From decorations to dishwashers, wreaths to ratchet sets. So sleep in. You're not going to miss Black Friday. Not one little bit. Black Friday improved. The best prices of the year already here at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, nationally syndicated all over this great country, well over 300 stations now. We have them in all stretches of the country, just about, I think, every state in the country,
yeah, that's
including
right.
Hawaii, and this one in Alaska, KSRMAN 920 in Soldotna and Kenai, Alaska.
And a special shout out to Programming and Operations Manager Bryce Stranton. Thank you, Bryce, for putting us on the air there. The towns of Soldotna and Kenai are located on the Kenai Peninsula in south central Alaska. The area is famous for its stunningly beautiful landscape and for world-class fishing and hunting. In fact, Danny, listen to this. 8 of the 10 largest king salmons caught in the entire world have come from the Kenai River, including a world record salmon which weighed 97 pounds.
Wow.
That's a lot of locks.
Wow.
One salmon weighed 97 pounds. That must have been quite a surprise for fishermen. So hello to everybody up there in Alaska. If you have a home improvement question, get in touch with us.
Oh, boy, that sounds great. That's such an amazing place. And I tell you, I've said this before. If you ever see that drawing, you can see it online a lot of times when you go to Wikipedia or whatever, where
right.
they've taken a map of Alaska and laid it over the continental United States. That illustrates how big that place is. I mean,
almost takes up the whole country.
Yeah,
right?
It's just completely amazing how widespread that is. And of course, a lot of it, I assume, is inaccessible and so forth.
Right.
But still, there is so much there. I've had a lot of fun there. Actually, I've kidded around about one of our IT guys here, TJ, that came straight from Wasilla,
that's right,
Alaska, and actually used to go to school with Sarah Palin.
And, really?
Wow. Yeah. So he didn't have much to say about her, one, good or bad, but I guess she was in another class or so forth. But anyway, that's pretty adventurous to move from Alaska and live there your whole life and move to the humidity capital of the world, Mobile, Alabama. I mean, he's had some days there. Well, I think he said one day, "Does it get any worse than this?" Said, "Oh yeah, it does. It does. You can cut it with a knife and all."
He's not complaining in February though.
No. He's feeling better about everything right now with it getting a little cooler. Let's go right back to the today's homeowner hotline. Brian is on the line with us from New Jersey. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Appreciate
my
that.
My question is, I want to replace the deadbolt on our front door with one of those programmable electronic deadbolts.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering what features I should be looking for and whether this is something I can install myself, because I'd rather not have to hire somebody to put it in if possible.
You definitely wouldn't have to hire anybody. It's very, very simple, but especially now you're replacing an existing deadbolt.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that makes it even easier because all of those holes are, pretty standard. So you're not even going to have to hardly break out any tools other than probably a Phillips head screwdriver is probably all you'll need. Possibly a razor knife. You always need a razor knife when you
just to open up the
package.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Or a chainsaw, depending on how difficult.
Whatever you get, sometimes you got to break out a hatchet in order to hatchet through all of that molded plastic stuff. But anyway, once you get past that, and assuming you don't get injured by doing that, but it's pretty easy. Now, as far as which one to choose, that's really a good question. I know Joe may have some suggestions on that, but I know that, and I don't recall the branding of the ones that we installed. I know we've used a lot of Schlage locks over the years, and they have some really good ones. But I'll tell you what, once you get it, you'll wonder how you ever did without it, because you never really have to worry about having a key around. You don't really have to hide a key anymore, because you can always have someone, if they need to get in, or you get locked out, or you need to actually open the door remotely from wherever you are. All of that is pretty much standard with some of the wireless ones. Do you have any other suggestions, Joe, in terms of a branding or anything?
Yeah, well, most manufacturers, Brian, have at this point, because they've been around for a few years now, have sort of like a good, better, best. So sometimes you have to, just let price be a indication of quality. So you wouldn't want to get the cheapest one, but you certainly don't need the most expensive one. I would think for between $80 and $120, you could probably get a really good one. And as Danny mentioned, the main benefit is that you don't need a key, right? You simply enter a passcode. But they do come, some of them do come with a keypad and a slot for a key. And you might wonder, well, why do I need a key if it's got a keypad? Well, it operates by battery. What happens when the battery dies? How do you get in your house?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why you need the key. So that would be that's one right. feature to look for. And then, as Danny had mentioned, that you can open it and change the codes using your smart device if it's a smart electronic deadbolt. Some of them aren't compatible with smart technology, so you'd pay extra for that. Another nice feature is a weak battery indicator light. So if the battery is dying, a light will come on, so you know to replace the battery. And the battery's on the inside, obviously, and you just pop it off and replace it. Those are probably the few things you want to look for. Some of them have push-button keypads. Some of them have touchpads. Most people prefer the touchpads because they are a sleeker look. They're just a flat look. And some of them, the doors will, when you walk out, a lot of them, Brian, you can program so it closes automatically so you don't have to punch in the code, which is a really nice feature. So you can use the code to get in, and when you leave, you just close the door. And if you wait, you'll hear within 5 or 6 seconds, you'll hear the bolt will get thrown and the door will be locked. So those are a couple of things to look for. And of course, as Danny mentioned, if you already have an existing deadbolt, these things just slide right into the same hole.
Great. Well, thanks a lot. It gives me a lot to think about.
How soon are you going to do this project?
Well, I was hoping in the next week or two.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Well, don't lose your key between now and then.
That's right. Well, good, Brian. I'm glad we were able to give you a little bit of insight on that. Definitely a great way to go. Something that you'll, as I mentioned earlier, once you get it in there, you'll be glad you did and wondered how you did without it. So best of luck on that. If we can help you any other way, let us know.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Our pleasure.
You're welcome.
Hey, there's nothing more annoying than a constantly running toilet. Plus, it costs you a lot of money. It is a common and sometimes expensive problem for homeowners, but the fix is very simple and affordable. Today's homeowner and our friends at FluidMaster are helping you take care of that leaky toilet once and for all during our Treat Your Toilet Leak Week.
What?
Treat your toilet leak week.
Okay.
There you go. I said it. There you go. But I had to concentrate. We've created a collection of how-to videos, informative articles, and insider tips to help you diagnose and repair those pesky toilet problems. All you have to do is visit todayshomeowner.com/leakweek for trusted DIY solutions and say goodbye to that leaky toilet today. And it is very true that so many times a leaky toilet is so simple, it may only take you 2 minutes to fix it once you understand where the problem is. And again, go to todayshomeowner.com/leakweek and we'll have everything aggregated right there in one spot that you can diagnose it yourself and immediately save money. Because I'll tell you, you know, you get a toilet running all the time, which many of them, you know, do.
Right.
You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water can just be completely wasted in just a matter of a day or two. So it is very important to take care of that little issue around the home.
Yeah, and the most frustrating leak is, in fact, we had a caller a couple of weeks ago from Chicago, I think, who had this problem where it's not continuously running. So you know it's a problem, and okay, let me fix it. He would flush the toilet maybe 10 times without an issue. Then that 11th time, it gets hung up and the water keeps running. And if you're standing next door in the room next door, you might hear. But what if you flush the toilet and leave the house for a few hours? That water's running and running. And he ended up with a water bill the following month, which was like $40 or $50 more than it should have been just from that running. So yeah, you're right. If your toilet's leaking, even just a little bit of water should take care of it immediately.
And like I say, most of the repairs are very, very simple. And if you have to replace all of the workings of inside your toilet, okay, you maybe have to spend $10. I mean, you know, it's just a very, very simple thing to take care of. And once you get it fixed, then most likely it'll stay repaired for a long, long time. Hey, coming up, we're going to be going through all kinds of things, including telling you about this brand new DeWalt circular saw that's completely cordless. And they say it's just as good as one that you plug into the wall. We'll tell you about that. Also, how to make sure that ceiling fan that you're installing in to replace that light fixture on the ceiling stays where it needs to go. And it doesn't mean necessarily you have to get in the attic or cut any hole in order to secure that electrical box there. We'll tell you some tricks that'll make that a lot easier for you. We're going to do that and a whole lot more over the next few minutes here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini, and it's time for our Best New Product segment brought to you by The Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. When cordless circular saws first came out, they were kind of a novelty. They were good for some jobs, but certainly no replacement for a corded model. Well, they've gotten much better in the last few years, and the folks at DeWalt have taken it to a whole new level with their new FlexVolt Advantage circular saw. First off, it uses a full-size 7 1/4-inch blade instead of those smaller ones, so the depth of cut matches or exceeds their own corded saw. And the degree of bevel is also equal. But get this, this battery-powered saw actually has a higher blade speed than the corded version by 300 RPMs. The reason is their battery ID technology. The saw knows when you pair it with their 20-volt or 60-volt FlexVolt batteries, so it'll give you 77% more power than their regular existing 20-volt circular saw. That power means this saw can do the same work as its corded cousins, and that makes any job you're doing a lot easier. So to get more information on this DeWalt FlexVolt circular saw, head on over to homedepot.com for more information.
60-volt circular saw.
I know it. Throw away the cords. I knew sooner or later we wouldn't need extension cords and save them all. Well, we will need them in a few weeks when we start stringing lights all over our house.
That's right.
Throw them all away. Hey, let's go right to Connecticut. Lincoln is on the line right now with a great question. Lincoln, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So I have a sunroom out in the back of my house, and there are some light fixtures in the ceiling. And I want to replace one of those with a ceiling fan. And I'm not sure if it's safe to attach the fan to the electrical box that's there, if I need to do something different with that.
Okay. And in a sunroom like that, I kind of tend to think you probably don't have access to the attic, I assume.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, there's several different ways to go. First of all, you can take the light fixture down, make sure you're turning the power off so that you're not working with, a hot box there, and make sure that it is off at the breaker box. And then look at the electrical box itself and just play with it a little bit. Get up there real close with a flashlight and see if it is screwed straight into a ceiling joist or any blocking. And you can almost kind of pull on it. It might even take pliers and pull on a little bit just to see how, substantial it is. And I would say 50% of the time, you'll be in good shape, depending on how old it is. Some of the newer installations will have more of the plastic boxes in it, and maybe some pop-in boxes, as we say, that would not be safe for that. But there's also some other ways. Joe, you're familiar with those expandable type of things that are available that you can, I can't think of what they're called, but you...
Fan brace.
Yeah, fan brace. That you actually fish it up into that small hole.
Yeah.
Really innovative way of providing that kind of spot for you.
Yeah, Lincoln, I agree that the first thing to do is take down the light and remove the box that's in there. And the easiest way, what I've found, is I just use my hammer and I turn it upside down and I just press up and bang up using the end of the hammer handle and just knock that box out. It's usually just supported by thin metal brackets that go to the right and left to each joist, or maybe it's nailed into the side of a joist, but you can usually just pop that out. And don't worry about damaging it because you're not going to use it. And then you'll know where the joist is. Hopefully it's really close to a joist. If you don't see it, you can put your hand up there. And what I would recommend is going to the nearest joist, cutting a hole and putting in a fan box, which is it's a pancake style electrical box specifically designed for installation of fans. And it's only 1/2 inch deep, which is the thickness of the sheetrock. And just screw that to the underside, right to the underside of the joist. Now you've got a really strong hold. Now you might say, well, what if I moved it over 5 or 6 inches and I have the old hole? Well, to hide that, you can buy a medallion. They just put up against the ceiling, then put the fan in there so you have a little decorative accent above there. If you decide that you want to use the fan brace, then you can use that too. You just slip it up inside the hole, the existing hole, and you just, by hand, you just turn it until it spreads out and has little teeth that dig into the side of each joist. Because the electrical box you have now is only rated to hold 50 pounds, and you need a box that can hold 150 pounds to safely hold the fan. Because, of course, not only is it heavier, but you have all that wobbling around.
Right, right.
That's what I would do, Lincoln. If there's a joist close enough, even if you have to cut a new hole, that's what I would do. Then, if you don't want to put a medallion up, you can just patch the drywall hole. But the medallion makes it really easy.
Right. Excellent. That's great. Thanks so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Our pleasure. We don't want the fan falling on you at any time. That's important there.
Don't want to be decapitated by my fan.
Exactly. Well, Lincoln, have a great success on that project, and also have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Lincoln.
Thank
Bye.
You now. Yeah, that's really important. We appreciate homeowners that are very cautious about certain projects like that because, we all tend to kind of get in a hurry sometimes, and that's something you don't want to do on anything that you're working with your home. Make sure you've thought it through, read enough, got enough information, and we're certainly always glad to help. And here's how we can help. Pick up the phone, 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. You can send us an email anytime at todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's exactly what, let's see, we've got one here from Bruce. And Bruce in Florida says, to keep our attic a little cooler, we have a foil-faced radiant barrier attached to the roof rafters. However, much of the barrier has fallen down and showing signs of wear and tear. Should the barrier be replaced, or do you think we can reattach it somehow? What do you think on that, Joe? Because we always talk about the foil-faced
right.
radiant barrier, and so many times it is installed improperly. Well, if it's hanging from your rafters, it's probably not doing you a lot of good.
It's not doing a lot of good. That's right. Yeah, these are just foil faced, they're like reinforced paper with a foil face, and it's reinforced with nylon like webbing in it. And as long as it's in good shape and the foil's not all ripped and deteriorated or something, I would just staple it back up. Now, Bruce's problem might be that the staple's ripped out. So you could, what I'd recommend is reinforcing the edges of the barrier with duct tape. then staple through the duct tape. The other option is to put up long wooden lattice strips, then screw or nail through the lattice strips into the underside of the rafter to hold it up. But I think I'd start with the duct tape and then just staple through that.
Yeah, certainly. If it's already there, you hate to just eliminate it or take advantage of some of the, especially there in a hot climate like Florida. So I would certainly take a look at that. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about paint. And one of the things that's probably one of the biggest challenges for homeowners is painting a ceiling. Well, if you can maybe just do some touch-up or maybe blend things in, then you don't have to paint the whole ceiling. We're going to talk with a homeowner that's trying to figure that out in just a little bit. We're also going to be diving into a lot of emails. We appreciate all those emails we've received, and we would encourage you to send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Do you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea. Brought to you by Tight Bond.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust Tight Bond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, Tight Bond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. Tight Bond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit tightbond.com or see them on Facebook.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is non-caustic and safe for any outdoor surface. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at participating Ace, Walmart, and Lowe's Home Improvement stores, or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
Looking for an easy DIY project? Here's a great way to update old kitchen and bathroom counters. I'm Danny Lipford, and I'm here to tell you that the Spreadstone Mineral Select Countertop Refinishing Kit from Deitch Coatings is a great stay-at-home project. This real stone countertop kit comes with everything needed to transform up to 40 square feet of surface space. Choose from 10 colors, and right now the kit is priced under $125 with free shipping. Go to DeitchCoatings.com to order your Spreadstone Real Stone Countertop Kit today.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
We're so glad you're with us this week and hope everything's going well with whatever project you might be tackling. Of course, if you run into a snag, we want you to reach out to us anytime. 1-800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. Or send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask, or jump over to the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. There's so much happening on our Facebook page. We put out a lot of information for you there every single day, and it's another way that you can get in contact with us. Of course, Instagram is very popular. Pinterest is going crazy. And if you'd like to send me something through Twitter, it's at Danny Lipford. Right now, we're headed to Kentucky, and Chuck is on the line with a paint question. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Danny and Joe. It's a pleasure to be on, and I appreciate you taking my question.
Of course. Thanks for calling.
It's a good one because, you know, so many times people are, you know, you have a little, you know, something going on with the ceiling, and maybe nobody else sees it, but darn, when you walk into the room, you're gonna look at that one spot every single time. Tell us about what's going on at your house.
Exactly, Danny. Well, I think I got a little overzealous with a magic scrubber, mm-hmm. as I'm sure I'm not the first one. What happened was I installed a ceiling fan recently, and I noticed after I was done, there was just a few light scuff marks in the ceiling, nothing, you know, too bad. So mm-hmm. I went down and got my trusty magic eraser, mm-hmm. and I went to town with it, and I was, you know, I looked up, everything looked great, the scuffs were gone. I thought, job done. Until the next time I entered into the room and the sun was coming through and I caught the ceiling from an angle, and now there is a shiny halo around the area that I scrubbed, and I wasn't real too vigorous with it. I tried to be as gentle as I could. And so like I say, now it's a flat white, you know, typical flat white latex paint on the ceiling. And now there's that kind of shiny halo. And I really don't want to repaint the entire ceiling because it looks gorgeous outside of that if I can help it. So I just wondered if you guys had run across this and maybe if there's a tip or two you could think of.
Well, I tell you, it's all, I think this is a classic example of all about luck because, you know, you get a flat ceiling, you know, ceiling flat paint, and even if it's the exact same paint that was used on your ceiling originally, when you paint it on there, maybe it gets on there a little too heavy, maybe too light. You know, the other has faded a little bit. Maybe there's been, you know, something that's caused the ceiling to fade just a little bit, like sun and so forth. So it really is a tough one, and you're really taking a chance at doing anything to it because you put that flat paint on there, it might disappear and look great, or it might make it stand out even more. Joe, I know that a lot of times something I read on some of the stain blocker that you
right.
have, the upshot, as we call it, with the spray cans that shoot kind of at a 45 for ceilings, that a lot of them actually say on there, formulated to match faded ceiling white paint. So, you know, I wonder if we should recommend to Chuck to try that spray or to try flat white or just quit looking up at the ceiling. What do you think?
Yeah, stop looking at the ceiling, Chuck. What are you doing? Yeah, I'm not sure how they could make that claim. I mean, you know, white paint. If you ever tried to buy white paint, there's like 1,000 shades of white.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Since it's a little shiny, Chuck, the first thing I thought is just buffing the area with some fine steel wool. And again, you want to be really gentle and just do it in one spot. I wouldn't do the entire halo around the whole ceiling fan and find out, you know, it looks even worse. So I would do one little area and see if that works. If that helps, but it's not eliminated completely, you maybe step up to some very light hand sanding with like 120, maybe even something finer, 180 grit sandpaper. Because if it's shiny, you want to knock that down to get to the texture of the flat ceiling. Now, every time you do that, of course, you're going to be removing a little bit of paint, even if it's on the microscopic level. So what will that look like? But I would try anything and everything before I painted the whole ceiling. And in fact, if it gets to the point where you have to put paint on just the halo area, I would just do that and see if it does blend in. I'm not sure it will, but with the ceiling fan air and their blades, you know, maybe you won't notice it if it does look a little different. But I think I would try sanding it a little bit or using steel wool. If you have to paint it, but don't paint the whole ceiling, just paint where you need to, where the halo is, and then stand back. And that might be enough to solve the problem you're having.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking. And by the way, Joe, I did try the steel wool, and unfortunately that didn't have an effect. And before I tried the 120 grit sandpaper, I thought I'd check with you gentlemen because I did read some forum posts about trying that. So maybe I'll go at it real lightly.
Good.
And see if that, it's one of those things, guys, where my fear is I can take something that's not a big problem and turn it into a big problem quick.
That can happen, no doubt about it.
And that's what I want to avoid.
Yeah, just proceed cautiously there, and we're behind you. We think you can do it.
Absolutely. And gentlemen, if I may, I don't want to overstep my boundaries here. May I just ask a quick question related to the ceiling fan?
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Wonderful. You know, I'm like a lot of people, I'm pretty hypersensitive to sound, especially at night. This isn't a bedroom installation. And
right.
I bought a pretty high-end Hunter ceiling fan
And for the reason of, you know, just known quality and that kind of thing. And it's a wonderful fan. But the one thing I've noticed, gentlemen, it's a three-blade fan. And I noticed that it has this buffeting with the air. It's not in the motor. It what happens is it's almost like, I call it a helicopter effect, where it's like the blade. I don't know if it must be the aerodynamics of the blade, but yeah, it's like this kind of flapping the air sound. It's the best way I can describe it.
Well, I'm really not sure what exactly that could be. I have heard some fans are a little bit louder than others, and I'm not really sure anything that you could do to it, because you don't want to change the angle of those blades at all, because that would, you know, tend to run into some kind of wobble.
I wonder if shortening up the blades would help. Running it at the slowest speed and get shorter blades.
Yeah. Well, not really sure on that one, but we do need to take a short break, and we'll be right back to discuss that and a lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio.
This year, the Home Depot is improving how we do the holidays, starting with our Holiday Gift Center. Find great gifts for any doer and the best prices of the year just for you. Like the top-rated Ryobi One Plus Drill Kit and the DeWalt Atomic Drill Kit. Get easy in-store pickup or even easier home delivery. The Holiday Gift Center, in-store and online, and Black Friday prices now through December. Gift giving improved. From the Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checknewwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinginwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Is there anything more annoying than a constantly running toilet? It's a common and sometimes expensive problem for homeowners, but the fix is simple and affordable. Today's Homeowner and Fluid Master are helping you take care of your leaky toilet once and for all during Treat Your Toilet Leak Week. We've created a collection of how-to videos, informative articles, and insider tips to help you diagnose and repair pesky toilet problems. Visit todayshomeowner.com/leakweek for trusted DIY solutions and say goodbye to your leaky toilet today.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Hey, I'd like to share with you some information from our friends at Deitch Coatings. When homeowners want to update a kitchen, one of the first things they want to do is improve the countertops. Unfortunately, that can also be one of the most expensive projects because the popular replacement options of natural stone and quartz can be pretty pricey to purchase and, of course, have installed. However, there's an easy DIY solution that covers your existing counters with the look of real stone. It's called the Spread Stone Countertop Refinishing Kit from Deitch Coatings, and that's D-A-I-C-H. You can find out more about it at DeitchCoatings.com. But it's really very, very, very interesting. It's the Spread Stone Countertop Refinishing Kit from Deitch delivers the shimmering mineral accents and color highlights found in natural mined rock. But all you have to do is roll it on. Here's the best part. The process doesn't require any artistic skill like some faux finishing options. Best of all, the kit includes everything you need for the entire project. Because the finish contains real stone, these counters have real good durability with resistance to water stains, heat, abrasion, and mold and mildew. In just three easy steps, you roll on a base coat, two coats of stone coating, and two coats of clear sealer. Plus, you only need an hour or two of dry time between each of the coats. So, in just one weekend, you can transform your existing laminate countertop MDF concrete or tile countertops into a durable stain-resistant surface with the design elegance of real stone. If you need an economical solution, solution to updating your counters, check out Spreadstone Countertop Refinishing Kit from Deitch Coatings. And you can find out more at HomeDepot.com or DeitchCoatings.com. Right now, we're going to shift right to our simple solution from our buddy Joe Truini.
All right, Danny, when prying moldings off a wall, you know, baseboard molding, chair rail, window or door casing, it's too easy to damage the wall because you slip the pry bar behind it. And, you know, even if you're on right in front of a stud, if you pry a little bit, that pry bar can sometimes damage, dent, and cave in the drywall. And I've actually made the mistake of prying a little too hard in between the joists and punched a hole right through the drywall. So here's how to prevent that. All you need to do is slip a 1x4 behind the pry bar. And preferably get one, cut it long enough so it spans at least two studs. And the studs are typically about 16 inches apart. So if you get the 1x4, make it 18 or 20 inches long. Because this way, if you're prying against the 1x4 will protect the drywall. Mm-hmm. But if you really put a lot of pressure, you can actually dent the wall with the 1x4. So you put the 1x4 long enough to span the joists. This way, the studs will support it. And that's all you need to do. And then you can just move this 1x4 wherever you need it. And the reason you use a 1x4 and not a 2x4 is a 2x4 is a little too fat, mm-hmm. at 1.5 inches thick. So it's hard to get the leverage you need. So that's it. So use the 1x4 behind your pry bar and stop wrecking that drywall,
that's
Danny.
Right. That's right. And actually, that gives you a little more leverage because it acts, you know, as a fulcrum there and really does provide you a little more leverage. So that's an excellent, excellent way to go. Hey, this hour has gone very, very quickly. If you're listening to a radio station that doesn't carry the second hour of Today's Homeowner Radio, that's okay. You can download our podcast at todayshomeowner.com/podcast or wherever you download your podcast that you listen to regular, or you can go to todayshomeowner.com and hear the second hour of all the things that we're going to share with you. But we certainly appreciate you spending some time with us during this hour of Today's Homeowner and hope we've been able to share something with you that you can definitely use around your home. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thank you so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.